In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. I have a few announcements. This Friday and Saturday, or first Friday, first Saturday, there will be the all-night adoration, and we encourage you to make an effort to sign up for the adoration. There is a sign-up sheet in the vestibule. Also, this coming Saturday, there's going to be a celebration in honor of my 25th anniversary to the priesthood, which I celebrated the 16th of this month. So you are all invited to that. There will be a Mass. If you look in your bulletin, I believe Mass will be here at 2 p.m. Hopefully we will have a nice turnout, a nice solemn Mass, followed by a celebration reception in the basement. And also on this same note, the school season has begun, and the Third Order would like to, or actually I would like the Third Order of St. Francis, the members here, to work to establish the catechism classes for the younger ones. You can contact Paul Brueggemann. I think he's the head of the Third Order here in this parish. I'm not going to say that he's going to be the one doing all the teaching. I would like to see different members of the Third Order take up some of this. I know we should have some children either preparing for First Communion or Confirmation. We should have some young adults, maybe convert classes. Whatever your need is, you know what your need is. Come and see myself or Paul and let us arrange something. We have some very qualified teachers here who are capable of instructing in the Third Order, or instructing in the catechism. And the adults, I would encourage you to attend the religion class that Brother Dominic is having, I believe, on Tuesday evenings. I think it's every other week. I am probably more inclined to see the catechism on Sundays because the children are usually very busy during the week with their school or after-school activities. Many of the parents are busy. So if we could do something after Mass on Sundays or later on in the Sunday, I would very much like to see this happen. I need to prepare a couple sets of people for marriage. I'm not sure how or when that's going to take place, but I also have a religion class online if you're interested in participating in that and you have a connection to the internet. I'm online at 8 o'clock our time on Monday nights, and you are invited to that also. Really, we have been, I think, very negligent in this, the instruction of our people, and I think it's time that we do what we can to correct that situation and to really come together and begin to learn. And for those I'm asking to teach or to instruct, I will remind you that the greatest way to learn is to have to teach others. Bishop Lewis used to say the only difference between the student and the teacher is basically one page. The teacher just has to be a step ahead of the student. And I think too often that is the case, but it benefits not only the student, but the instructor benefits greatly from it. So if you're asked to teach little children or to show them the catechism, just follow the book and be one step ahead of the child and never be afraid to say, I don't know the answer to that one. Let me find out and I'll get back to you. So, and it brings together the community, a classroom where we can have questions asked, discussed, and hopefully answered correctly, and we can build up a family spirit. It helps to build up the faith, and it's good for everyone around. It will help each one of us to bolster our spirits and to continue onward. So you don't all have to attend Brother Dominic's class. I wish that there should be several levels, different classes for different needs. Express your need, express your desire, and I'm certain we can do something to fill that gap, to fill that void. We're a small group, but we can do what is in our power to do. And I think we can do much more than we currently are doing. All right. I think that's all the announcements we have. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, our Lord is brought to a feast to eat, and there is this man sick of the dropsy. And everyone's wondering, will he cure? Because it is the Sabbath, and our Lord already knows them. So he knows what's going on in their mind. So he asks them very clearly, straightforward, is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to do something good on the Sabbath? And he takes the dropsical man, heals him, and sends him away to prove to them that yes, it is lawful. And he explains to them, if any of you have your beast of burden, your ox or your ass or your horse, whatever, if it's in trouble, if it falls into a pit and can't get out, even if it's on the Sabbath, you'll go out, tie a rope and pull, and you'll work and dig. You'll do whatever you can to save that animal, to spare it in its suffering. And if you will do this for an animal, why dare you even think that it is not legal to do the same for your fellow human being, who is of much greater value than an animal? Your fellow human being who is made in the image and likeness of God. And then I think there is a profound connection between this lesson that our Lord taught and the next one that's contained in today's Gospel. He says to these people, when you're invited to the wedding feast, don't go and sit in the first place, lest the master, when he comes in, sees you and says, please step down and allow him, this one, to take your place. He's more deserving of this honor than you. And you must bow your head in shame and go to the lowest place. He said, rather, when you come to the wedding feast, go and sit in the last place, so that when he who invited you will come and say, friend, move up higher, and then you will be gloried in front of everyone. For he who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. There is a beautiful and profound connection between these two lessons. The Sabbath was created for our rest, it is true. But the Sabbath was created for man. Man was not created for the Sabbath. All too often, the things in this world become inverted. And in this inversion, that which was supposed to serve man becomes the master of man. Men tend to become slaves to whatever it is they love. They become slaves to one another. They become slaves to mammon, to money, to power, to position. They become slaves to their property. They become slaves to their pets, to animals. When Bishop Lewis was alive, we had many parrots. And I know very clearly, men don't really own these pets. The pets own the men. Every weekend when I have to go away, who's going to feed the birds? Who's going to make sure they have water while I'm away? I have to line someone up. We become a slave to them. We have to make sure they're taken care of. Rather than them bringing us pleasure, they become a burden, and we are there to cater to their pleasures. Who is the master? Who is the slave? We are to be masters of the Sabbath. It was given to us to serve us. And therefore, whatever is necessary for the promotion of God's greater glory, for the welfare of our souls, we may do. Not only may we do it, we ought to do it. And we should not consider it a slavery, we should not consider it drudgery, but it is actually what is setting us free. I mentioned in the announcements the desire to have instructors and those to attend the classes to receive that instruction. And I know that there's probably no profession that is less respected than that of the teacher. They receive the most criticism, the most abuse, the most ingratitude. They have truly taken the last place. But it is not without its consolations. It is not without its joys. For to see the student accept and to receive instruction, to see them grow, to benefit, is consolation enough. It is a gift from God, even if no one else appreciates it. The satisfaction of knowing that this soul has been instructed, has been given an opportunity that this soul would never have received, even if it appears to us to be little or of no value, it is something. And something is better than nothing. But we're not doing it for the gratitude. We're not doing it for advancement. Instructors, at least the ones that I'm asking to instruct, are not going to receive any worldly compensation. What do they get for their efforts? Hopefully their students will give them a thank you, a sign of appreciation. But what I am hoping that they will desire more than anything else is that reward in eternity, because they have chosen to fulfill this lowly task, our Lord will say, friend, move up higher. And because adults have not been too ashamed to bow their heads and admit that they are students, that they too must learn, they again are taking the last place. And if they do well, humbly, in that position, they too can look for the beautiful promise of, friend, please move up higher. But we have to do our part. We have to come to the wedding feast and not remain away. We have to remember that the Sabbath, this day of rest, Sunday, that is dedicated to God, is not just a day when we're off of work and we can kick up our feet and turn on the game. This Sabbath was given to us, yes, so that we may rest, but not so that we may overindulge and offend God. And I think most importantly, this day of rest is a day that God has given us to come to the aid of one another. During the week, we're too busy. We have too many obligations. Too many things claiming our attention. On Sunday, take the opportunity to receive instruction, to give instruction, to aid one another, to help each of us to learn true humility and to encourage each one of us to move up higher. We should never be content with how much we know. And I dare say that most of us, we don't really know as much as we think we do. No matter how long you live, there's always something more to the faith that we have yet to understand, that we have yet to experience. We should never be content. We should never grow satisfied. But we should always desire more. We should always also, in this desire, remember to take that last place and to be humble. St. Francis, in speaking on holy obedience, gives us, at least the Franciscans, the example. He said he would obey a novice of one day, someone who has just entered the order. If this novice of one day was placed over him as his superior, he would obey him as the most senior member of the religious order, as the wisest. St. Francis was willing to take the last place. And when he entered eternity, at least we have through revelations the concept that he was given the place that Lucifer, the highest of the angels, had fallen from. He sits there at the height, the head of the seraphic choir of angels. He was asked to move up higher because in this life he always sought the last place. Let us take a lesson from that. Let us seek that last place as students, not ashamed to admit our ignorance. It's not a sin to be ignorant. It becomes sinful when we willingly choose to remain ignorant, when we don't have a desire to know more of God, when we do no longer have a desire to love God more. How can we love God if we don't know Him? How can we know Him if we don't study Him? How will we ever study Him if we do not attend the classes that are offered? If the classes are not offered, I can't cover everything in this sermon from this pulpit. There's many things that are better handled in a classroom where it can be applied to each individual according to their level, their station, their development, their understanding. But for each one of us, we must be humble enough to take that last place, to be willing to receive instruction, to be willing to give that instruction without any reward, but only looking for a reward in eternity, to patiently bear the humiliation that comes from this last place. I ask you all to take that to heart. To make an effort. We have several people here, but it's always heart-wrenching to see on First Fridays and First Saturdays a handful of names on the list. Or to see someone must take not just 1 hour, but 2 hours. Or to see that there's only one person here during an hour. I think very often when I come in early in the morning, have not we all received the graces of God? But where are the other nine? Remember the 10 lepers were healed? They received tremendous graces from God. What happened to the other nine? No one's found to come and show their gratitude to God. in the middle of the night, in the quiet of the night, to show their love for God, to show their appreciation. Where are they? What a terrible statement to make of ourselves, that we are too busy. We don't have time. There's just a few that will come and make reparation for the sins of many. And you say, but it's in the middle of the night. I need my beauty sleep. Oh, but if it were a midnight party, a dance, a celebration, you wouldn't hesitate to stay up all night. It wouldn't be too far if the beer was flowing, would it? But when it's nothing more than God's graces, I mean, how can you compare that to a good cold beer? That's all God has to offer me? How foolish, how stupid can we be? And you say, well, we never said that. You didn't say it. Not with your words. But our actions definitely say that. For a party, a worldly celebration, we are in 100%. All night long, if need be. But when it comes to God, can't do it. I can't survive without my sleep now. I can survive without my sleep when it comes to celebrating, worldly parties, eating and drinking and being merry. But if I must come in the middle of the night, pray before God, ask Him to pardon all those who are out partying and celebrating, make reparation for the sins of my family members, my children, that's too much. Take it to heart. But even more importantly to that than that, take to heart that today is Sunday. It is a day dedicated to God. You fulfill the first part of that obligation by assisting at Mass today. The fact that you're here shows that you have some good intention. But don't let this be the end of it. The day has just begun. What more can you do? What more is in your power? It has to be something more than just kicking up your heels in front of the TV set and dumbing your mind down, eating and drinking, sleeping the day through. Make this day holy. Pick up the life of the saint. Pick up your catechism. It doesn't matter how simple it is. Pick it up. Look through the children's catechism. Look over it. It's beautiful. See if you can begin to penetrate some of the depth and the beauty and the wisdom that is contained in those simple words. I think very few ever stop to realize that in the catechism, when it speaks, for example, of that Jesus Christ is true God and true man, we seldom stop to think of all the effort that went into developing that short little sentence. The catechism is presented. Is God, is Jesus true man? Yes, Jesus is true man. Is Jesus true God? Yes, Jesus is true God. It's the second person of the Blessed Trinity. All of that has come about and been developed and condensed into those short little words so that you could understand them, because heresies arose and there was confusion. Was Jesus Christ a man who became God? And the church says no. And had to declare a dogma. Jesus Christ was always God, is God, and always will be God. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. So all those who claim that he was just a man and that he became God are liars. He was God from the very moment he was conceived. Then you had on the other side those who said, well, Jesus is really true God, but he wasn't really a man. He just appeared, you know, kind of like the angels appear throughout the scriptures. He looked like a man, he talked to us, he acted like a man, but he was just a phantasm, an apparition. And again, the church says, no. Get it straight. He always was God. He will always remain God. And he is God who became man, not a man who became God. And to many people, this sounds like semantics. What's the big deal? Who cares? It is a big deal. Whether we know who Jesus truly is or not determines whether we really love him or not, or whether we are falling in love with a God we create in our own image and likeness that satisfies our needs, or whether we are loving objectively true God. But all of this doctrine, argued over by great theologians, great minds, for many years, culminated in the declaration of the dogma, and then put before us in the simple words of a catechism. So I suggest to you, do not be ashamed to humble yourself. Take that last place. Pick up that little catechism. And begin to appreciate it. As your eyes are opened, as your faith increases, your love for God will increase proportionally. And you will hear in the depths of your soul, friend, move up higher. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.